Hi, and welcome to Detox, Talks the Detox, a podcast where we talk to some of the world's finest leaders about their detox rituals and how they maintain continuity in a world of noise and chaos. How they make sure that the criticism that the world puts on them doesn't affect their insight and they still continue to perform as well as they do. Thanks for tuning in. This is Kunal Sundiramani, and you are listening to Detox, Talks the Detox.
With Kamal Karant on the podcast. Kamal is the founder of Xpheno, a specialized staffing company, and impacts over 300,000 people through his LinkedIn content as a LinkedIn top voice in the previous year. Welcome to the podcast. So glad to have you here.
My pleasure, Kunal. Happy to be here.
So Kamal, you impact so many people. What is that like? Your one piece of content reaches 300,000 people. In addition to running a company as ambitious as Xpheno, trying to change the entire infrastructure and the way specialized hiring happens in the country, what is it like for you and how do you see yourself detoxing after a conventional day?
For me, Kunal, writing has been my catharsis. So during my corporate life, I took to writing about 9 years ago, which primarily was to detox myself from the travel, the pressure of what comes from a C-suite job, and all the busyness we surround ourselves in the form of employment. And for me, writing came as a catharsis. So whenever I write, I don't think of the 3 lakh plus people who follow me, and I only think of myself when I write. And that's why I call myself the narcissist while I write, so I don't think of anybody else, honestly. So there is no expectation. So there is no pressure as to how people will perceive it or, you know, react to it. There are one or two characters who are actually in my mind because what I write is all real. You know, these guys exist in my life whom I write about. And there is an experience which comes out of it. So I think of those guys who possibly briefly come to my head. But otherwise, I think none of these expectations weigh me down while writing because I'm a narcissist. I write for myself.
I love that. So just adding on, I think writing is such a fantastic way to reach people. I have this line that I'm a big fan of. So I can't remember who was it, some very famous writer who was once asked, do you write when inspiration strikes or do you write at a particular time every day? So his answer was beautiful. His answer was that I write only when inspiration strikes, but I'm lucky it strikes at 9 a.m. every day.
Kunal, that was Salman Rushdie. And I think I heard him say that by in his voice. So Salman Rushdie famously said that I do the work from 9 to 4 like anybody else. For me, writing is like a daily affair. I call it the muscle memory so that I've developed. So I get up early in the morning. You can call it, it's a 5:30 to a 6:30 kind of an affair that I do. So every day I write without fail, except for Sundays. That's how it strikes me. But honestly, now it has developed so much that if I have to write on something and I feel really strongly about it, I can write at 9 in the night too, right? So I believe writing is not about creativity. It is about discipline. Time and again, you know, if you are able to practice it over a period of time, I think it becomes like muscle memory. It comes to it, becomes a skill of yours. So I also don't look for any special timings for writing, though my time to write is 5:30 to 6:30 a.m. in the morning every day.
I like that. I'm personally an early riser. I wake up at 5 a.m. every single day. That's my morning ritual. That's something I owe every day to myself. So how did you find that for yourself? A lot of people find morning as a good time. A lot of people find night as a good time. How did you find morning as your good time?
I grew up in a joint family, you know. So there were 26 people in my house, in my village. I grew up in Udupi. So if you didn't come to the kitchen at 6 o'clock, you didn't get hot coffee because the women folk had to move on and make breakfast for 26 guys. And people had to move on, do their other chores, get ready and go to work or whatever was applicable in their lives. So, which meant that people had to get up early. And if you want hot coffee, you had to be at 6 o'clock. So, that was the starting point in my life. So, getting up early started from there. And then, when I came to college, when I moved to city, when I moved to Bangalore, my dad had this habit of having an early morning coffee because he grew up in the same atmosphere, right? So, he used to wake me up at 5 o'clock to go and fetch milk. And I continued reading after that. So pretty much since then, you know, getting up early for different reasons has been part of me. Then, of course, I was in a sales job when I took my job. And I had to get up early to catch early morning train to be in another station. And I was in continuous travel throughout my sales job. And once I reached the C-suite, I had to get up early to take flight. So, you know, in a way, early morning is like part of me, you know, from childhood per se. I never felt it like I was, you know, sort of today when I had to wake up, I don't feel bad that I'm up and everybody else is sleeping kind of a thing. So it is my me time. So that's how it has become part of me, mostly induced during childhood. And I can't remember even in childhood, I used to detest because I liked the early morning coffee. So it had to be hot. So I didn't mind getting up. So that's how the 5 a.m. thing has sort of stuck with me, Kunal.
That's a nice story. How things just stay along. So how did you come across writing?
Funny it is because during my school days, I used to participate in essays, Kannada essays primarily those days. I studied in Kannada medium. And my dad used to write for me. And I used to go and win prizes, you know. And I saw that I was winning the essays and none of them were my own creation in a way. He used to write it and I used to go and reproduce them. That went on till about 8th standard or so. 9th standard, I felt I should win more awards. So some set of people were winning the awards and I said, no, I should snatch it from them. And I went and enrolled myself to a speech contest. And there again, I told my dad, you know, tomorrow the speech day and whatever. I think I told him 2 days before that. I don't know what happened to him. On the day of the speech contest, he just, or I think the previous night, he said, why should I write speeches for you or essays for you and you will go and win the prizes? What's in this? And I'm not writing it without assigning a reason. He was my dad and I was pretty scared of him. And I couldn't protest saying that, look, I will lose the face, whatever. So I had no choice because I had given the name. So I went and wrote whatever I had to write for the speech. And I went and gave my first speech and whatever stroke of luck, I won the speech award for the first time, you know, the speech contest. And the topic was the issues of unemployment, you know. And today, as life would have it, I'm in the space of employment. And the last 20 years, I've been in the world of facilitating careers for people. So maybe that it was somewhere written in my destiny that, you know, I gave my first speech and won the first award on for my own writing on unemployment problems in India. So I think my journey sort of started there of thinking independently about writing and it was there. But I think it's sort of an art that I didn't develop beyond that. When I used to go to college, I used to write movie reviews, you know, in Deccan Herald, Indian Express, those days. To watch movie and write a review and send it. They will publish possibly 3-4 lines of it. And I used to watch it and get a kick off it, you know. So little adventures I made to writing, but never really did anything full-time during college or thereafter. But as my career sort of expanded and I moved roles, somewhere there were some people who worked with me. I remember a lady called Vinita who first told me in 2009-10 that, Kamal, I think you should write. You should develop the art of writing. And she gave me an assignment saying that next 1 year I should write and she won't publish anything of it. She was my marketing head, though I was a CEO, I couldn't take pangas with her, so I said, fair enough. And next 1 year, every day I wrote between 8 to 9. I went to office early, wrote 8 to 9, I wrote every day. I don't think any of those pieces are still published. But after a year and a half, I think it went to a stage where the first time I published and somebody said, wow, this connects to me. And that's how the writing became a real life a part of me in 2012. So I started really writing big time or, you know, full time, you know, in, from 2011. But I think the seeds were sort of sown in my school days, bit in college days, but I never really, you know, sort of developed on it like I've developed over the last, you know, 9 years.
Wow. So adapting to writing through this whole process. So today, writing most definitely is a detox for you. So how do you find that balance when you go through a rough situation at work, at Xfino? How do you find writing as a detox for yourself?
I think every incident that I encounter, let's say, you know, it's a situation which caused the pressure, if at all, right? So writing is anyway part of me. Like I said, I write without triggers every day. But when there is a trigger which caused that, let's say, pressure situation or a stress situation, obviously, it has to do with people. It has to do with the context of what somebody said, right? Somebody said or somebody didn't say something. In a way, sometimes somebody didn't recognize me and I felt the need for recognition. Writing became a channel to recognize myself, you know? And when I took that route, of course, social media was just beginning to explode. Remember 2010-11, LinkedIn had come into play. Facebook was big time, you know, those days. And then I told myself, this is my recognition norms, you know, it though started more like a catharsis, But maybe it also came at a time when somebody said to me something or somebody didn't recognize me. I said, I'll go to the world and get the accolades from the people who are free to appreciate me without any baggages. And that's how writing happened. And whenever people started to write to me independently, it became a recognition point for me externally. And that is how it became a detox, if you can use that word, in terms of you writing for yourself, but somebody else feeling validated and somebody else feeling connected to it and sort of impacting others was a kind of a double kick, honestly, Kunal. I don't go out and write when I'm stressed, honestly, but because I write every day, what happened previously sort of impacts my writing the next day. I pick out something, I reflect on it, I write. So though my stress and writing are not connected, I always thought so, but I'm sure somewhere the episodes had a huge bearing on the stories I wrote. Because every piece that I write has an experience in it, has a story in it, has a character in it. So they're not a list of opinions. So it has a trigger of what has possibly happened the previous day.
That is very, very well phrased. So overall, apart from writing, what is another detox mechanism that's a part of you?
Multiple things. Actually, you know, writing is possibly the last, like I said, 9 years, 10 years kind of, companion to me. But from childhood movies, you know, I used to watch one movie a day in theater. Now, because in my village, every Friday, the movies change. And the option was to watch a movie on Saturdays, which I invariably did most of the Saturdays. And as I grew up and started earning, it possibly became twice a week. And even when I bought my house, you know, actually, even today, my house is next to Inox. So before the pandemic, I used to make it to the theater every week twice. Because I watch movies in about 5 languages, you know, all the South Indian languages, Hindi and English. Clearly, you know, I have an option to watch movies. So the 4 South Indian languages, so Hindi and English is actually 6, you know. So the wide choices I always had. And it's a 4-minute walk from my door to the Inox hall. So I need 1 minute to decide and 4 minutes to walk and 5 minutes I'm in a movie hall to watch movie. And movies has been pretty much part of my life. And I guess my writing, storytelling also comes maybe influenced by the movies I've seen over the years in so many languages. So for the longest time in my life, if movies has been part of me, if my cousin scolded me, if I lost a cricket match, I went for a movie, I failed in an exam, I went for a movie, I got a prize, I went for a movie, I got a job, I went to a movie, girlfriend dished me, I went to a movie. So life and movies, you know, I somewhere wrote also once that as a kid, I always dreamt growing up and being a movie star or a cricket player or a politician. You know, but movies was pretty close in that way in my head, that because I saw movies every day, right? And pandemic, I took it to the next level. I watched a movie every day, you know, 9 to 11. So Netflix, Hotstar, and Prime, I sort of raided and there is nothing left. So post-November, I don't watch any of them now because there's hardly any movies to be seen, to be very honest. So movies is a big part of my detox. And over the last 15, 20 years, fitness very clearly has been part of my routine. I go to the gym every day, even if I'm traveling. And let's say we had a very late night session, I still always made it a point to go to the gym early in the morning. And my running shoes has always been with me all the travel. And of course, not to forget cricket. Till I went to college, I played cricket every day. I didn't make it big or nor did I have the ambition. I just played for the love of playing cricket. And I watch cricket. I love watching test cricket. And of course, I'm a great fan of T20, waiting for the matches to start. So cricket, movies have been longtime friends. Once professional life took over, fitness, because I think it has kept me fresh throughout the day. People meet me in office work who need to be, sort of getting the best out of me. I became a manager very early in my life. So I always felt I couldn't go to office with a face which was grumpy, because I've seen people like that whom it was. So I thought I needed to have energy, and I thought running in the morning, a treadmill, and all the exercises, cycling gave me the energy. So gym has been part of me for the last 15, 20 years. Of course, the best detox throughout all this time has been friends, whether I went to play cricket as a kid or movies, it was always with friends, you know. Every weekend, even today, I meet different friends, ex-colleagues, my neighbors are part of my life. Jam up together, simply meet to have chats, dinner meets, whatever that is. So friends has been the best detox, value relationships to a great extent. And I believe all of us can do much more in relationships. And if there is a best detox for anybody in life, I would say that have friends, have relatives, cousins, ex-colleagues to go out with. I think that's the best detox we can have for ourselves. Travel, at least in a year, 2 family trips for sure with family friends we go. One is a newer trip. And 1 road trip with just 4 or 5 of us adults, two families. We leave the kids out and go. And that has been a great detox throughout my life, at least in the last 10, 12 years, I can say that. And when I was an employee, once I reached a stage in life, maybe 2002, 2003 types, when I started to take, once I had my daughter and two girls, I used to take during my employment days 4 weeks off. That means whenever my kids used to have breaks, that is April 1 week, May 1 week, October for Dasra, and December 1 week during Christmas. And it was easy to take off. I worked for great companies. They always valued my time and they valued employees per se. So I could afford to take the 4 weeks off in a year. And I think that was a great detox I've had throughout my career as an employee. Post becoming an entrepreneur, those breaks have reduced, but I still take off 2 weeks in a year without fail. I have a very understanding co-founder who's very generous when I offer to take leave, and he stands up for me and fills my time. So these are some of the things that just been part of me. Mostly, I would like to believe that when I'm with somebody else, I detox more. So much of the time is spent with friends, relatives, family, neighbors. You know, they've all been part of my personal time. And that has been the most fulfilling factor of relaxing. I don't use it as relaxing, but it has become part of me. And if at all, I can consider myself as a relative relaxed person, I would attribute to the relationships that I have around. I do read books, but that's, you know, maybe about 2 books a month, but that's primarily, you know, I wouldn't call it a detox per se. It's more a habit, but I would put movies, cricket, and time with friends as the best of my detox throughout my life.
Wow. So entrepreneurship, you started Xfino after having been an employee for decades. What was the reason? What really motivated you to go ahead and take a journey as entrepreneurship? And then once you did take up entrepreneurship, what's been your detox through entrepreneurship and starting ventures?
Yeah, I think I had a great run as an employee, honestly. And also, I became the MD for Fortune 500 company. And I also headed Asia Pacific, had overseas stints. And it was a great time, great relationships with my employers even today. So it was going well. Space, I also an opportunity. You know, I was 43 or so when I traveling extensively between India and Southeast Asian countries. So I had a lot of time during travel. And when I looked at what I was creating for my employer and asked, how about creating a legacy for myself? You know, so I thought something that struck to me that, look, even if I work half as hard as I am, I possibly will create a great institution the way I want it to be. Not that I found anything wrong in the enterprise I work for. They are great employers, companies with great legacy, and where I have great relationships. But I felt I could create something of my own. And I also looked at the opportunity. The industry that I belong to, the recruitment and staffing industry, when I joined the industry in 2001, it was a $100 million industry in India. And today has grown to be a $10 billion industry. So whether I was good or bad, many people like me grew, went on to go on very significant roles. We made impact to the companies we work for. We made impact to many careers, if I had to say so, with a bit of a pompousness in it. So I felt it was a very fulfilling space to be in from a career point of view, that though I made my living out of it, I thought we made an impact on people's lives. So I thought if I could create something like that, as an entrepreneurial venture, that would if something would be possibly beyond the fulfillment that I ever experienced as an employee. And of course, I was blessed by a great childhood friend, Anil. Anil and me grew up as neighbors and we were friends throughout. And one fine day, by sheer accident, we became peers. And after becoming peers, when he used to head a part of the business in India, when I used to head Asia Pacific, then we went on to become competitors. When we were MDs of two large international companies. And we fought with each other over a beer about certain things as competitors. We always felt there was an opportunity to create a large specialist staffing company out of India, which could serve the world. And the market opportunity was huge. And it was a new industry in India yet. And we felt with the experience we had and the complementary skills we brought, exploring the space of how the employment staffing market was growing in India. We both joined this industry when it was about $100 million. And saw this today, it is about $10 billion. It's going to be about $60 billion in the next 10 years with the formalization of employment happening in India. And being beneficiaries of the growth the staffing industry gave us, you know, whether we were good or bad, clearly we went on to don the C-suite in the industry. We got opportunities to work overseas, have an impact on companies, create large companies, turn around Fortune 500 companies. So with all the experience we felt, we both could create a legacy in the form of specialist staffing in India. So that is how the idea of Xfino happened. Xfino means extend your expression. Phenotype, the word in biology, as you know, means expression. So we took the word pheno from phenotype and We believe that if everybody brings their best expression to work, workplace will be the most fulfilling and productive one. And we being in the work of putting people in specialized jobs, we thought their expression is what matters. And that's how Extend Your Expression, you know, happened. So we felt that, you know, we wanted to create a company which stands by who we are. And we sort of invested about $1 million and started Xpino in the form of people first. We hired people whom we felt were willing to create a scale that we wanted. So it was a path of people, customers, and profit in that path. You know, so we also ensured that we did not straight away hire former colleagues or went to our former customers and seek business. We felt if strangers buy a solution, then it means it's long-lasting and it is real. And so we made new relationships. It took its own time and creating a market.
So moving on to the rapid fire round, these are a couple of quick questions. Try to answer them in 5 seconds or less.
Sure.
Apple or Android?
Apple any day.
iOS or Windows?
All these will get you the same answer. iOS since the time they launched.
Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Favorite web series?
Suits.
Favorite movie?
Shawshank Redemption in English, Shola in Hindi.
Favorite place to visit?
Australia.
Favorite music?
It's rock. Rock music. I'm a Bryan Adams fan.
Netflix or Amazon Prime?
Netflix.
Netflix or Disney Plus?
Netflix.
Netflix or Extra Sleep?
Extra Sleep.
Perfect. Thanks a lot for coming on the podcast. It was fun hosting you.
My pleasure, Kunal. It was fun talking to you as well.
You just heard an episode on the Detox Podcast. Do not forget to subscribe on your favorite streaming platform, whether it is Spotify or iTunes. We are there.